once we've got that sort of target market, we go, okay, who's buying, who's selling? Then we want to develop like an avatar, because as you're creating content and as you're sharing stuff out there in the marketplace, you're going to get more attention talking to one person than you are going to be trying to catch everyone. You're actually even more likely to attract people that don't fit that niche.
Niche down, go really deep on that one topic, and people are going to be drawn to the fact that you're getting so detailed on one piece of specific information.
When you are sharing things on social media, specifically when it's like a just listed, just sold, stop doing the thing where you're like, hey, look at this. Hey, we just sold a house. Tell the story. Because when you tell the story, the right people are going to connect with that story and be like, hey, I saw how you helped Anna Lauren on that house, and I'm in a similar situation. I would say this is more important than social media.
Ricky Caruth says this is what took him from zero sales to 100 sales in a year.
Yep.
This one thing.
All right, let's talk about shifting gears. We're in a new market now. And the thing that I sort of reference when I'm talking about this specific subject is like there's a bullseye in terms of market segments and who buys and who sells. And that bullseye is usually, you know, people buying their second home, upgrading, you know, those are typically higher price points. And right now we're not seeing much movement in that market segment. And so for all of us, we're left to go, okay, who is the new market segment? How do we target them? Or how do we just shift market segments generally if we want to work with investors, if we want to work with first-time home buyers, retirement stuff? So we're going to talk about how to shift your business to target a new market segment so that you can continue to have success no matter what. And by the way, this is moving all the time.
Yeah.
Your target market is moving all the time in real estate. There's always people buying. And always people selling, it's just different people buying and selling.
That's
closings
right.
happen every day.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we're in a very unique time because demand is very, very high.
Yeah.
But you have sellers who are sitting on these 3.5% interest rates. They're like, I'm not selling right now. So there's the inventory issue, but people are still buying and selling. And, you know, even the types of people that are buying and selling can change from month to month. Like we had in January and February, with the rates dipped back down, we had unprecedented numbers of applications for mortgages. And then that almost instantly vanished when it went back up to 7.2. So, you know, you have to stay on top of the market.
You always, you need to be continually informing yourself. And by the way, it always seems like there's agents like waiting for something to happen, waiting for the market to shift, waiting for interest rates to come down. And we even saw that like when we all had this, you know, ridiculous COVID market where people, we're like, oh, we need this, we need that, because that had challenges of its own, even though there was a ton of stuff. But like, God, you're in multiple offers on every deal. And so every market has its challenges. There's not a perfect market, and you can't wait for things to change to take action.
I got a call yesterday on my way home from the event that we were at, and it was someone I closed a mortgage with late last year. And he was just like, hey, my son's buying, and it just so turns out that he got a job at the University of Oklahoma. And he's like, my son's buying in Oklahoma. I was like, well, funny you say that, because I'm actually licensed in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, my son's buying in Oklahoma. And he's like, but I'm telling him right now that it's best to rent for a year before he buys because of where the rates are and whatnot. And I was like, well, right now your son can get seller concessions.
Yep.
He's likely going to have closing costs paid for in some form or fashion, title expenses paid for, things like that. And little competition. So there's going to be houses that are sitting for 30, 40, 50, 60 days, and he's going to be able to go out and get it without having to submit multiple offers or go above asking or do things like that. And guess what? When the rates come down, that's going to happen.
Right. And then you're also getting that equity, that massive equity bump. If you think about like how much your house price is going to go up when the interest rate goes down.
Yeah, like Barbara Corcoran from, you know, she does that show with Cuban and all them.
Yeah.
But she's also a real estate mogul. And she thinks prices are going to explode when the rates go down to 5.99. And so, and she's not the only one. There's many people that think that way. And it's hard for anyone to predict. That's her opinion. I happen to agree with it. But, you know, you're just going to be in a worse situation in that scenario because you're going to have a bunch of people buying. It's going to be a seller's market, and they're going to have their pick of the offer.
Is that in Norman? Is that where he's buying in Norman?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great market, right? College town. It's always going to sell. You're always going to have a market. People moving in and out all the time. So
Yeah. So, I mean,
absolutely should buy something.
It's a different way of thinking about it, right? Like, yeah, you could totally wait. Your purchasing power is going to go up from a purchase price perspective, but you're going to have a lot more competition.
Yeah. So again, what shifted? Who's buying? So if we take that target or that bullseye, right, of the target, and that's, you know, people who are upgrading, buying more expensive houses, things like that. That's kind of frozen. So you've got like sort of the outer circle around that, and that's going to be first time home buyers, investors, job transfer, grandma and grandpa moving to be close to the kids, right? And that's what we're seeing a lot in our brokerage is that buying group.
Yeah.
And they're still buying and they're still active and making things happen. But you just don't have that center of that bullseye. So again, we're still creating transactions, but it's just a different target market.
Yeah. You still have divorces, that happen, yeah. School zone changes, people relocating in from other states. All those things are still occurring on a daily basis. And it just so happens that our, you know, in Middle Tennessee, it's happening in really high frequency because people are moving here from other states all the time. And just, I mean, that's the market right now. And then tomorrow it might be, hey, all these people that had a 3.5% interest rate are willing to trade it for 5.5% and they're going to move. So you just got to stay on top of it.
I'm also thinking it was probably not a good idea to drink a Topo Chico before a podcast or while you're doing a podcast because of all the bubbles.
Yeah, there's a lot of bubbles.
So if I burp, sorry. The other thing, you guys take some time to like, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Leave us a comment, leave us a rating. We appreciate you guys listening. And the more engagement you guys give us and tell us what you want to hear or what you need to hear right now, the more we can curate podcasts for you.
Love that word, curate.
All right. So again, develop. And so once we've got that sort of target market, we go, okay, who's buying, who's selling? Okay. Then we want to develop like an avatar. So someone that you can talk to. Because as you're creating content and as you're sharing stuff out there in the marketplace, it's actually better to talk to one person. You're actually like by selecting a niche, like by selecting that avatar, you're going to get more attention talking to one person than you are going to be trying to catch everyone. Because the information is going to be more specific. It's going to be more helpful. And you're actually even more likely to attract people that don't fit that niche. By doing it. One of the things I think about is Fred Armisen, who's one of my favorite comedians. He created a comedy special called Stand Up for Drummers, right? And so by creating it just for drummers, that means everybody wanted to watch it because they're like, oh, I'd like to know about this group, yeah. Right? So it was really a brilliant stroke in selecting a niche. And that's what happens when you are really dialed in and you're talking to that niche, you're going to get more attention.
Yeah, that's what they say about starting a YouTube channel too for agents that want to do that. Don't try a bunch of different things on YouTube. Niche down, go really deep on that one topic, and people are going to be drawn to the fact that you're getting so detailed on one piece of specific information.
Right. So when you develop that niche, you also want to think, okay, what am I asking them to do? Okay, we're asking them to transact business. We're asking them to buy houses, number one. Okay, so what is it that you want them to do? Two, what are the steps needed to do that? Okay, so they're going to need to, you know, have a buyer appointment, select a lender, right? Get a pre-approval, start the house search process, make an offer, right? We know all these steps that we're asking them to do in that process. And what are the questions that they're going to have for each step? So for instance, it's like for a pre-approval, how do I select a lender? What's my interest rate going to be right now? What does the lender need to know? What kind of information do they need from me? Is this going to affect my credit score? Every one of those questions is a question that could be answered through social media, through a weekly email, through a blog. When you're putting that information out there, people are going to be attracted to it. So just answer those questions for that specific, market segment, and you're going to start to attract those people. And you can start to feed into other people's algorithms too.
And here's what I can tell you. Anytime you email someone, text someone, do a social media post, don't ask someone to do more than one thing.
Yeah.
Don't say, like me, follow me, send me a text, DM me, buy something from me. Like, there's too many calls to action. There should just be one call to action each time. And all of these videos that we're talking about, like a process like of buying a home, it can be broken up into many different videos. You don't try to cover too much information in one video because the detail gets lost.
Yeah, so just do one at a time.
Do one at a time.
But it's so funny because when you said that, I was thinking that exact same thing when I was saying, hey, like, subscribe, comment, leave us a rating.
Yeah.
Like that, I was thinking about that because we've been talking about that for the past week. And because we've actually been setting up more calls for people to come into Six Figure School by asking them to do one thing.
When you ask somebody to do four things, they don't hear any of them. Mm-hmm. When you ask somebody to do one specific thing, it gets drilled in. So use that when you're out there, you know, promoting yourself. It's like each time I reach out to people, pick a thing and ask them to do it.
So let me do this again. So take some time and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
There you go.
Okay. We'll see if we can.
I wasn't actually specifically calling you out. I was just saying in general, you just want to ask people to do one thing.
Yeah. Okay. So again, what are we asking them to do? What are the steps to do it? What are the questions that they have at each step? Answer each of those questions. You can do it live or you can record a video, stick it out there. Okay. The other thing is when you are sharing things on social media, specifically when it's like a just listed, just sold, tell the story. Stop doing that thing where you're like, hey, look at this. And I'm guilty of this too. Like, hey, we just sold a house. Tell the story, right? Because when you tell the story, the right people are going to connect with that story and be like, hey, I saw how you helped Anna Lauren on that house and I'm in a similar situation.
Yep.
And so people are going to be more interested in the story rather than you just showing off.
Yeah. We just went to an event yesterday and they kind of drilled into this a little bit. It's like people are more connected to the story. They don't care if you sold 5 houses, 50 houses, or 500 houses. They care about the fact that this person wasn't qualified to buy a house at first, but you found the right professional for them. Mm-hmm. You got them into the place of their dreams and they're going to have Christmas in their new house with their new baby this year. Yep. They care about that.
Yep.
And you know, the more you try to sell, like, look at me, you are going to fail. People are going to be so turned off by that because that's what everybody does.
People will not want to use you because you're too braggy.
Well, in fact, you can get into some circles where they're like, well, Brandon's doing just fine. Looks like he's selling tons of houses. Maybe I'll give somebody else a shot. Mm-hmm. And exactly. So it can work against you. I'm not saying it always will, but I'm not saying it's bad to put a just sold post out there every now and then, but that shouldn't be your only content.
Right. Tell the story. Okay. The other thing is the more relational piece, which I think is incredibly important, because I know we get real big on social media and I think you absolutely should do social media, but people neglect the relationship piece. And that's really where that's going to be the catalyst for greater success for you. People are trying to become famous and it's like, no, niche down, right, on your social media and start being where those people are. Okay. Where is your target market segment hanging out? Okay. Go be where they are. Create an event. Right. That's the other thing is like, how about a first time home buyer info session? Right. You can do that live. You could do it online. But, you know, again, you want to create relationships because that's where your word of mouth and referrals are going to come from, is you developing relationships with people.
I mean, my wife really loves to volunteer at the school. Well, mm-hmm. she gets a lot of business from school because she's out there doing what she loves to do, volunteering at the school, mm-hmm. helping out. And then people also know she does this, you know, real estate thing. And so they're like, hey, we'll use her because she's doing some of the same things I like to do. So definitely get involved in the things you love to do and business will come to you. You don't even have to ask. Like, she doesn't go around at school events saying like, hey, by the way, if you're buying and selling in 6 months, use me. Like, that's not going to work. But
I do think it's a good idea though to wear like merch, like to wear branded stuff.
Totally.
Doing those things, right? Because it just reminds people that that's what you do. But again, go be where they are and develop relationships and go volunteer your time. Okay. The other one in terms of like creating an event, do something that would be, it doesn't have to be also though, just a home buyer info session, do something that's fun, right? Yeah. And invite people to it. And those conversations are going to come up naturally.
Yeah. I'm an advocate of the fun events. Don't even make it about real estate. I mean, you can have some, like you can be wearing merch or you can have a tent or do mm-hmm. something like that, but it should mostly be about the event.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, do things that are fun that people want to come to. And yeah, it doesn't even have to be, you know, informational, just relational, focus on the relationship. The other thing is like just general community involvement. I know as we have progressed in society, we get more and more isolated and more lonely. So get out of your house, right? And go be where people are. Because here's what's going to happen. If you go to that festival this weekend, or if you go to that, you know, city, what is it? Like in my hometown in Sherman, Texas, they do like a summer concert series. Like you go do that. Because guess what happens? You run into people.
Yeah.
You run into people that you know. And also, consequently, real estate conversations are going to happen there.
Yeah. Well, and we didn't want to get in the car and drive downtown and pay $30 to park in a parking garage and go to, you know, high-rise building and all of this. And but
it was a crazy, like a, it was a crazy hunt to find this place.
Well, and we did. And we're going to, there's going to be a couple people that'll likely be on our podcast because they were, you know, they were great at what they do. Yeah. And so we met some people that are going to be of value to our listeners, of value, hopefully we're of value to their listeners as well. And, you know, it, all it took is just a little discomfort.
Yeah. So be the person that goes to stuff, right? Go be out and about, go be involved in your community, create relationships. And what happens is people start to think of you, you're top of mind, but they start to think of you as a generous person. And you'd be, I can't even tell you how many times it'd be like, oh, Brandon, you know what? I've been meaning to reach out to you.
Yeah.
Right. But maybe they were, maybe they weren't, but something happened when I saw that in person that triggered it. And then now we are in a transaction. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is another one that is hugely helpful. I would say this is more important than social media.
Ricky Caruth says this is what took him from zero sales to 100 sales in a year.
Yep.
This one thing.
A weekly email. As, and you might think, does that really work? Does people really like, isn't it going to be deleted? Not if you do it the right way. And it keeps you top of mind. A weekly email is huge in terms of developing, keeping clientele, staying top of mind. And even if someone's going to be, you know, doesn't open 50% of your emails, 70% of your emails, they just need to open one.
Yeah. It needs to go out on the same day every week and you never miss.
Right.
Those two things. And you will have people that join that email list in 2020 that don't buy until 2030.
Yeah.
But stay consistent with the email list and people will remember you when it's time to buy or sell.
Here's what you don't want to do. Don't get on one of those like email services that just sends out.
No, those don't work. You know,
general information on market stuff. That's boring. Do things that make you look like an engaged citizen, the mayor of your community. So the thing that we teach in Six Figure School is we go, okay, week one is what's going on this month in our community that I need to go to, right? Is there a concert? Is there a festival? Is there this? Is there that? What do I need to go to this month? What do I need to make plans for? What can I do? How can we have fun this month?
Yeah.
Right.
And I would even say, write it as if you're talking to a person, in your normal voice. Like, don't try to make these so professional that looks like they're a canned email that goes out to thousands of people. Write it as your personality to one person. And it will land because people will be like, actually, I can tell that Brandon typed this up and sent it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a service. It wasn't a canned email. It was Brandon sat on his computer and typed this up.
Yeah. If I was doing one today, let's say for community events, like what's going on, and be like, hey, here's what's going on this month in Williamson County. Hey, if you are at the this event, I will see you there because I'm definitely planning on going to that this month.
Yeah, something like that.
Right? And then that's personal and fun and engaging. Okay, so that's week one. Week two is going to be your market update. Again, talk to that avatar, right? And one of the things like I would talk about today, if I was to write that, I would go, hey, I want to talk about 2-for-1 buy downs, which is confusing to people, but here's how you can get a lower interest rate now and potentially refinance later. So you can get all the concessions, all the equity that's going to come from a lower interest rate and put you in a better position. So that's what I'm going to talk. That's probably what I would talk about now. And I'm talking again to that target market, to that niche. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to send it and they're going to go, hey, you know what? Somebody else needs to, I'm going to forward this. We've seen that before in email lists. It's like where people forward it to other people.
Yep.
Right. And you can kind of track that on MailChimp and other email stuff, but they'll forward it to somebody that they were talking to last week, or their son or their daughter or their mom or their dad or whoever. Okay. The third week, support a small business in your area because that makes you a generous person, right? Support a small business in your area. It can be a dry cleaner. It can be an optometrist. It can be any number of things. Number four, a restaurant. Week number four is a restaurant of the month, right? So because people are always looking for good places to go eat. But the idea is that you become the community leader, you become the mayor, and people reach out to you for everything. That's being a person of influence. Hey, who do you know that does this? Who do you know that does that? Yep. Right? That's when you know you've crossed over to becoming a person of influence, is when people are calling you about things and it probably doesn't have anything to do with the house. Hey, what's a good restaurant to take my wife out to for our anniversary?
Yep.
Go do those things, right? As you are moving into a different market, moving to a different market segment, do those things. So let's go back through them, okay? Number one, develop the avatar. Who am I talking to? It can be first-time home buyer, it can be retirees, it can be whoever, right? Just develop an avatar that's in the process of buying, okay? Number two, go be where they are, right? Where are they hanging out? Number three, create an event. Doesn't need to be a home buying session. It can be if you want it to be. The more it's around fun, the more people are going to come. Okay. Go involve yourself in a charity event, right? Something that people care about so that people see you as that generous person. And number five, get to the weekly email. Do it every week on time and talk about things that matter to people, and it's going to be engaging to people. Okay, what else as we wrap up?
Yeah, on the community involvement, it doesn't necessarily have to be a charity. It can be anything that you love in your community, but it should be authentic.
Yeah.
People can see through Brandon's going to this church thing to get business. Like, people see through that. True. It should be authentic. It should be, I'm going to serve my community in a place that I feel very strongly about. I love whatever it is they're all about. And you go there and you serve, and people will naturally be drawn to that because you're doing a service.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. So again, stay tuned. We'll be with you next week. Take some time again to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate you guys. Talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.